Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the University of Wisconsin Extension and the Educational Communications Board. I say that at the start of this hour because my guest is the president of the University of Wisconsin System, Kevin Riley, and we will be talking some about the funding of the university system this hour, a system that provides some of the funding for this radio service. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Thursday, August the 28th. And it's a move-in day for thousands of students at UW-Madison and other campuses around the state, I'm sure, as another academic year for the UW system is about to begin. We will check the pulse of our UW system this hour. How healthy is it as the 2008-2009 classes begin, and what is needed to keep it strong? We will also welcome your questions and feedback for the president of the UW system, Kevin Riley. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Kevin Riley is the president of the UW system, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. This is a great time to be here, as you mentioned, with move-in day here in Madison campus and across the whole state. We've got students returning to the campuses, and your blood just starts to flow a little faster as you see them coming back with all the hopes they have for the next semester and year and the dreams they have for their future. It's a great reminder of why people like me got into this business to begin with. Yeah. And we know the parents, especially of the freshmen, are a little butterfly in the stomach at this point. And I was watching them move in yesterday and thinking of when I was a young staffer working for the Board of Regents in New York, my boss was taking his oldest child, a son, to college in another state. And his name was Tom. His son was Tommy. And I remember going in on the Monday after they had dropped him off and saying, well, you know, how did Tommy do? And he said, oh, Tommy did fine. And there was this pause. And then he said, I didn't do very well. So I appreciate the parents dropping off the freshmen with their hopes and fears all rolled into a knot in their stomach at some level. But it's a very exciting time.
It absolutely is an exciting time around here. It does make you feel younger and sometimes older.
A little bit of both, I guess. That's right.
Yeah, and the elevators are a lot slower at Vilas Hall once the students get back.
Yes, they are. And you know, my office is on the top of Vilas Hall, so I ride those Van Nuys, and I ride the elevators in that hall all the time, and it is fun now with all the students and faculty members back to engage them in some, there really are elevator conversations.
Yeah, the check engine light went on in my car the other day, and it scared me because that had never happened before, and I brought it to the dealership and had it checked out, and hey, everything was okay, just some routine maintenance. What's the check engine light say for the UW system as we start this new year?
Well, you know, I think we made some real progress in the last biennium. We got more than $30 million in new investment that the governor and the legislature gave us, not for us, but for this growth agenda for Wisconsin, which involves our helping to produce more graduates in the state, helping to attract graduates to come into the state, and helping to grow the jobs that will employ both of them. So that was the first time in over three biennia that we had any new investment from the state. And I guess my argument all along has been that this really is an investment. We know that there's a direct correlation between the percentage of baccalaureate-degreed people in a state and the per capita income in the state. And Wisconsin needs to drive that number up of its college graduate population so we can drive our per capita income up. And I think that argument has taken hold. And I think the main evidence of that is that we did get that new investment in the last biennium. And we're underway now, we hope, moving Wisconsin forward with that growth agenda.
Yeah. The UW Board of Regents last Friday approved your state budget request for the 2009-2011 biennium. And you're asking for more money, more investment in for this growth agenda.
That's right. This is kind of the second phase. You know, the national average across the states of percentages of populations in the states with a baccalaureate degree is around 27%, 27.5%. We are in Wisconsin at about 25.5%, so we're 2 percentage points below the national average. Minnesota is between 32 and 33% of its population with a college degree. And as a result, Minnesota has now jumped out about $4,500 ahead of us in per capita income. So these are trends which we cannot let go forward. We've got to catch up in a race, and it is a race. It's a race for talent and a race ultimately for per capita income and quality of life in a state. In a knowledge economy, if we're going to be competitive as a state, we need to have more college-educated people here.
So graduating more people with bachelor's degrees, that's one of the missions of the growth agenda.
Yes, yes. Okay. And you've got to really do all three at once. And producing more baccalaureate degree holders, as you said, is the first one. Second is using university resources to attract people who have degrees already to come to Wisconsin. Part of that work is using university resources to make our communities around the state attractive places for young, entrepreneurial, college-educated people to want to come and settle and build a life. And the third main goal is to help create the jobs, the new knowledge economy jobs that will employ those folks for years to come. And you have to do all three of those at once. If you just produce more college graduates and don't have the jobs, they'll leave. If you produce the jobs and you don't have a workforce to fill them, the companies will go, the jobs will go. So the trick here, it's kind of like, you know, as they say, riding the bicycle or building the bicycle as you ride it. We've got to do all three at once, and it is a challenge, but I think the people of Wisconsin, through their elected representatives, had faith in our argument that we needed to do this and that we could in investing in us, in our growth agenda in the last biennium. We hope that that will be the same thing that happens again. And part of the reason I think we were able to persuade the legislature and the governor to do this is that we had support from local business leaders, nonprofit leaders, local elected officials, county board members, students from all over the state who wrote to their elected representative saying, we want you to support the growth agenda at UWGB. We want you to support the growth agenda at Whitewater. We want you to support the growth agenda at Madison, Milwaukee. So that third party advocacy, I think, is crucial. And I want to thank people all around the state who stepped forward to help make that case. Again, not on the university's behalf. This is about the future of our kids and our grandkids and what kind of state they'll have to live in.
Yeah. Why, President Riley, do you think Wisconsin is below the national average when it comes to people holding baccalaureate degrees?
Well, one good way to answer that is to go back to that comparison with our near and dear neighbors to the northwest, Minnesota, which is a state that's probably most like us in so many ways. And when you look at the college graduates that they produce just about the same number we do. We have actually a little higher number than they are. We produce our college graduates, by the way, at $1,900 less per graduate cost than Minnesota does. So we're much more cost efficient in our higher ed system than Minnesota is when you look at the hard numbers, $1,900 less per student. But what they have been able to do is attract students from out of state in many more large numbers than we have. So we rank now, last time I looked at the data, 49th or 50th among the 50 states in attracting in college-educated people from outside. That's why that second piece of the growth agenda is so important. I think I know we can do a lot better job there, and I'm hopeful that we will succeed in doing that. I think getting the word out about Wisconsin as a great place to live and work, to start a career, to start a family, is part of what we and a lot of other players in the state need to do. You know, this is about the university working with state government, with business, with lobbying groups, with all sorts of other entities to make the case for Wisconsin being a great place to live and work.
Yeah, but if Wisconsin isn't cool and doesn't have the jobs, will they come?
Well, no, I think we've got to make the case that we are a cool place to live, and I think indeed we are. I don't know that we've communicated that very well, And I, again, on the job side, that's why that third piece of the growth agenda is to help create the jobs. And, you know, we will not compete as a country successfully at the low end, the low skill end, given our wage structure. We will compete successfully in the international global economy at the high skill end. And that's why we need to have even more college educated people in the United States than some other countries will to compete. And by the way, when you look internationally, 10 to 15 years ago, the United States had the most highly educated population in the world. We have now slipped back internationally to 10th place. Nine other countries now have a larger percentage of their people with college degrees. And that the nine that are ahead of us, by the way, don't include countries like China and India that and some South American countries, large countries that are building their post-secondary systems very, very rapidly. And they will be producing many, many more college-educated people in the near future. We have a real tough competition going on internationally. And this is a kind of silent crisis that our political leaders really haven't picked up on at the national level or state level quite yet in the way I think we need to. Unless we can turn those trends around, unless we can get beyond the plateau nationally of in the high 30s of our population with a baccalaureate degree up to 50 to 55%, which is where these other countries that are now ahead of us have gotten to, big jump. We will not be competitive internationally as a country, and it will threaten everything about our quality of life. So we've got to wake up and start saying, how are we going to use our public higher ed systems and our private colleges and universities to get where we need to be in the 21st century?
What can the UW system do, President Riley, to create these jobs that the knowledge economy calls for?
Well, the best tangible example I like to cite, Joy, in response to that question, is the University Research Park a couple miles west of where we're sitting now on the Madison campus, where we've got over 4,000 people employed in jobs that average over $60,000 a year. These are good, non-polluting, high-paying jobs that have a future in the knowledge economy. And that research park, a lot of the companies that are there are companies that have spun out of the research on the UW-Madison campus. And many more of the companies and entities that are there in the research park are there because they want to be in proximity to those companies. So we have begun work with campuses around the state now beyond Madison to try to set up similar kinds of engines for university research to be turned into commercializable goods and services and products. And so we need to be, as a university, helping to create some of those jobs. And the more we do of that, the more we will attract other companies and entrepreneurs in to create even more jobs for our graduates here in Wisconsin.
We are talking about the growth agenda for the University of Wisconsin system and talking about funding that growth agenda and funding for the UW system in general and other issues facing higher education in Wisconsin with the President of the UW System, Kevin Riley. We welcome your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison 263-1890 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along on this Thursday, August the 28th. Coming up later today, it's John Munson in for Ben Marins, talking after 5 o'clock with his guest about the Catholic vote. That's coming up after 5 o'clock. We're talking about the UW system and funding for the UW system and issues facing the UW system with the president of it, Kevin Riley, our guest. Our number, if you have a question, 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. So, President Riley, you are requesting $37.5 million from the state to fund the growth agenda or to continue the funding of the growth agenda in the next biennium.
Correct.
Yeah. It's times are tough. The economy's tough. Are you hopeful you're going to get that kind of money from the state legislature, which is going to be pinching pennies?
Well, times are tough. And, you know, they were tough in the last biennium as well. The state, even in tough times, spends a lot of money. And the question always is really, what's the priority? How do you determine that priority. And our argument will be, again, long-term, a relatively modest investment. Now, $37.5 million is a huge amount of money, but when you put it in the larger context of a state budget that goes well over the $32, $33 billion, it's really not all that much as a proportion. But we'll be making that case that long-term, if we're going to get our per capita income up and have more money to spend on keeping our air clean and our schools good and our water serviceable and having the kind of quality of life in general that we've come to expect here in Wisconsin, we're going have to have higher per capita incomes in this state. And if we don't get those incomes up, all of that will slip backwards. And in that sense, the university's got to be one of the main economic engines helping to drive that per capita income up by producing and attracting more college graduates who will earn higher wages in jobs we help to create and attract as well. So it's part of a large package here that's designed to help all of us have a better future in Wisconsin. So I'd urge people to think of this not so much as an expenditure, but as a long-term investment in the future of our kids and our grandkids.
Yeah. We heard on this program, in fact, on Monday, one of your outgoing UW chancellors, the UW-Madison Chancellor John Wiley, was with us to talk about his views about the future of the university and the state of Wisconsin. He wrote a piece that appeared in Madison Magazine that got quite a bit of attention, where he said that the poisonous swill of partisan politics was really harming the university and harming the future of Wisconsin. What's your reaction to what Chancellor Wiley had to say?
Well, my point is that the university isn't and shouldn't ever be a partisan piece of debate in the state. It's not a Republican or Democratic goal to have more better-paying jobs. It's not a Republican or Democratic goal to have more seats on our campuses for Wisconsin kids. It's not a Republican or Democratic goal to have more people with higher levels of education and better incomes and better quality of life. All those goals are goals for Wisconsinites, regardless of party affiliation. So I think, my position on this has always been the university needs to stay out of partisan politics, but we need our elected politicians on both sides of the aisle to come together and support a vibrant future for the state of Wisconsin. We need more, in my opinion, more ability on the part of our elected officials to compromise across party lines, because that's the way democracy needs to work to get things done. If everybody's camped out at one end or the other of the political spectrum and unwilling to come to the center to compromise and get things done, that's not good for anybody in the state. So the more we can, I think, encourage our elected officials to see their role as figuring out how we can move forward together on the university and a whole range of other vitally important issues for Wisconsin, the better off we'll be. And if John Wiley's column in the long run helps to get us there, well, that will be a good thing.
Do you think you have a healthy, strong relationship with most of the state legislature?
I think we do. And I think, again, the evidence of that was the last budget, which was a good budget. Before the Regents and I talked about the current budget proposal for 2009-11 in public, the president of the board, Mark Bradley, and I went down and we met with all the legislative leadership in the Assembly and the Senate, Republican and Democrat, and sat down with them and said, here's what we want to do. Here's why. Here's what you did for us the last time. Thank you. Here's what we think we need to keep doing. Here are the business people in your district who are saying we need to do this for UW-La Crosse. We need to do this for UW-Stevens Point, and we hope you will do it again. So part of what I've tried to say to the leadership and others is, look, we're going to try to not surprise you with anything. We're going to try to give you a heads up about where we're going and why. So hopefully you understand it through that dialogue. We hear any hesitations that you have about it and can do some fine tuning. And I think that's what we'll do once again in our advocacy for the new budget in 2009-11. And I've found that generally, if you make those kinds of efforts to reach out, there's a lot more understanding. I, for instance, have breakfast once a month with Representative Nass, who's the chair of the Higher Ed Committee in the Assembly. And I have breakfast once a month with Senator Vineout, who's the chair in the Senate. She's a Democrat. Mm-hmm. He's a Republican. And we talk over issues. We don't always agree, but we've gotten to know each other at a personal level, both Kathleen and I and Steve and I. And I think that often goes a long way to their thinking, well, the university's not the enemy here. We're all in on this together. Not that we'll always agree on everything, but we at least understand what the other person is trying to do. And we assume goodwill rather than badwill.
Yeah. Well, one of the legislative aides of Representative Nass did comment that he thought John Wiley's comments might serve to harm the relationship between the university and the legislature. Do you fear the same thing?
Well, you know, there are always reasons why you can look on the negative side of, of any relationship. And the legislators, the governor, have a hard job. They've got all sorts of people running at them who want money for all sorts of good causes all the time, and they have to establish the priorities. Our approach will be, again, to get third parties who are people who are active in their districts to say to the legislators and to the governor, this is important not so much for the University of Wisconsin as an organization. It's important for my company, for my city, for my region, for my economic development entity, that the growth agenda for the campus in my region go forward. And I think those kinds of voices are much more persuasive, finally, than those of us who work for the university. And, of course, when we go in, the legislators, the governors know we're getting paid to advocate for the university. That's fine. We try to put our best foot forward. But in terms of credibility, I think people who are not in that situation, who say, this is important for me and my region and my company and my nonprofit, those are the people who the legislators listen to. And we've already got a whole bunch of letters for the 09-11 budget saying that we'll be getting more and working with the legislators so they understand how wide the support is for this across their districts, across the state.
Yeah. So your binder full of letters helped helped out during the last budget negotiations.
I think they did. And we'll have another big binder that I'll be traipsing around in the Capitol with between now and the time the governor introduces his budget in February, and then between that and hopefully June 30th when the budget gets put to bed.
Well, maybe we can get some verbal support during this hour. And we can hear from you. How important do you think the University of Wisconsin system is to the health of your community, to the health of Wisconsin, to the economic future of Wisconsin? What questions do you have for President Riley? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We're talking about issues facing the UW system this hour, funding of the UW system, and focusing in a little bit on the UW Board of Regents last Friday approving the budget request for the next state budget, asking for $37.5 million in additional GPR. Is that correct, Kevin Riley, to fund the growth agenda? The growth agenda is an effort to graduate more students with bachelor's degrees and to attract more people to Wisconsin who have bachelor's degrees, and to help create more jobs for all of these bachelor degree holders to take. Lori in Franklin is our first caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Joy, and hi, Mr. Riley. I am very interested in finding out if there is reason to hope that inner city people from the city of Milwaukee will be able to develop their God-given talents in the university system here in the Milwaukee area. And because I'm going to be speaking to an inner city parish on Labor Day, and I think it would be good to hold out hope in that direction if that's something that I'm convinced that we can do.
Well, absolutely. It's a very important point. I think, you know, we know that states that succeed in the knowledge economy are states where their largest metropolitan areas are doing well. And my argument here is that the state of Wisconsin will never do as well as it needs to in the knowledge economy unless that is being led by the city and region of Milwaukee. So I would say to to all of us. We have all have a stake in the city of Milwaukee and in the success of children in the Milwaukee public school system. So certainly, I hope you'll send that message to them. And we have some practical things that we're doing to try to provide opportunity and make dreams come true for kids there. The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, under the leadership of Chancellor Carlos Santiago, has been expanding its seats, opening up access even more for students from that region to come and get a degree at their local institution. The Wisconsin Covenant, which you may have heard about, is a program that the governor introduced. It applies not only to UW, but to all colleges in the state. The notion there is we work with kids, the state does, the universities do, with kids and parents in eighth grade and say, look, here's what you'll need to do in high school in order to be successful and go on to college. And by the way, you need to go on to college, whether it's a tech college campus, a two-year campus in the UW system, Madison, or any of our other fine institutions in the state, including the privates. The part of the idea of the covenant is to say you will need some kind of post-secondary education and credential to succeed in your lifetime in a knowledge economy. And here's what you need to take in high school to do it. You need to take a college prep curriculum. Here's what it looks like. You need to get do well enough in it so that you're passing your courses and moving forward, and you need to be a good citizen, stay out of trouble. If you do those three things, we will find a way, we will find a slot for you somewhere in the public higher ed system in Wisconsin when you're ready to graduate. And if you have need on the financial aid side, we will help you close the gap between what you can afford to pay you and your family and what tuition is when you get ready to come on into one of our post-secondary institutions. So this is a program where we're all working together to say to kids and families when they're still in middle school, here's, you really need to go to college. Here's what you need to do to get there. And don't think that financially you won't be able to do it. We'll help you. But on your side, you need to work hard. You need to take a tough college preparatory curriculum. This is not beanbag. This is serious business. And you're going to have to study hard, work hard. You're going to have to stay out of trouble and keep your nose clean while you're in high school. And we'll find a way to get you on into one of our post-secondary institutions. So conveying that message in that inner city parish would be a great thing if you were willing to do it, Lori, when you speak to them this weekend.
I'd be very willing to do it.
Thank you very much, Lori, for the call. Jack in Milwaukee is with us. Hi, Jack.
Hi. Thank you very much for having me on the show, and it's a pleasure to talk to you, President Riley. I'm a faculty member in the UW colleges, and regarding access, I think the UW colleges, really that is our mission, to provide access to place-bound students, students that wouldn't have a chance to go to the four-year comprehensives because of income or because they're a little bit afraid to try a four-year comprehensive. I guess the reason I'm calling today is I'm sure that, you know, as you talk about the UW system, that you also mentioned the UW colleges and the 13 campuses of the UW colleges, which are a strong arm in the UW system. Along with that, the salaries for faculty members in UW colleges do need a lot of work, and I understand that the state has been reluctant to do that, but quite frankly, the morale amongst the faculty in the UW colleges needs help salary-wise. I'm an associate professor. I earn less than $50,000 a year. You mentioned research jobs at $60,000 around the Madison campus. We do need help. We do need help providing for our families. So,
All right. Thank you very much, Jack. So are the faculty of the UW colleges underpaid, President Riley?
Well, I'll get to that. Let me come back to the point where Jack started. I think the UW colleges, which are 13 two-year institutions that are part of the UW system and they are arrayed across the state, are, as their slogan says, a great place to start, especially if you want to save money so that you can still live at home, go locally, take small classes, get lots of personal attention. And then if you are successful there in your freshman and sophomore year, you can transfer seamlessly into any of the institutions that are the four-year institutions in the UW system. To emphasize the availability and wonderful access that the UW colleges provide, in the last biennium, we froze tuition at the UW colleges. It did not rise at all. They were already the most reasonable tuition in our system. We froze it then, and I recommended to the Board of Regents that we freeze it again for the 09-11 biennium, and they approved that during the meeting last week. So we're trying to use the UW colleges to send that message that this really is a great place to start in tough economic times. You'll be guaranteed transfer if you want to go on. Not only is the tuition lower, but if you want to stay at home and go to one of those campuses, you can. And by the way, they now have their entire, the UW colleges, their entire associate degree program online. So you can complete a two-year degree completely online if you don't live right up cheek by jowl close to one of those campuses. And this is part of what being a university system means, is that we have multiple entry points for students that have different admissions requirements, different feels, and it's about getting the right fit between an individual student, his or her family circumstances, and what they want out of college when they start, and the campus. And we have a great variety of campuses across the system. We try to work together to find the right fit for individual students, to get them started in a place that's good for them, and then to provide opportunities for them to go on to other places when they get to that point, if that's what they want to do. Now, to Jack's point about salary, it's well taken. I mean, we are now across the system about 10% behind our peers in faculty salaries, and the UW colleges are the lowest in the system. Overall, we need to do better than that in a very competitive market for faculty talent. Like any business, we compete for talent, and pay is never the whole story. We all know about why anybody takes a job or leaves a job, but it almost always is part of the story. And we can't afford not to be competitive. We'll never have in Wisconsin the highest salaries in the country, but we need to be able to play in the league. And right now we're slipping out of that league. So we will be forming up between now and December our pay plan request and asking the state to help us get to a more competitive place. And this is important for faculty like Jack and their families right now. As we look forward, we know that with the graying of our faculty, many of them will be retiring in the next several years as the baby boom bulge moves out of the workforce, and we will be in a fierce competition with universities all over the country to attract the next generation of talent. And unless we have a salary and overall compensation plan that's competitive to do that, we won't get the kinds of people we want as teachers in our classrooms, as researchers in our labs. So Jack's point is very well taken. And I testified in front of a legislative committee on workforce development last week and talked a lot about a lot of different issues in workforce development in the state. Wisconsinites need to remember that there are 40,000 people working in the University of Wisconsin as faculty and staff. They're a big, important workforce in this state in their own right, and we need to keep their salaries and compensation competitive.
We're talking with Kevin Riley, the UW System President. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Stay tuned for more convention coverage, the On Point special coverage of the Democratic National Convention coming up after 9 o'clock, followed by Kathleen Dunn and her guests. That's coming up between 9 and 11 this morning. And there will be more tonight when Barack Obama accepts his party's nomination for president. Live coverage of that this evening as well. Right now, talking with Kevin Riley, the president of the UW system. We're talking about funding for the UW system, the growth agenda of the UW system, and we're welcoming your questions and thoughts for him at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We just heard from a faculty member of one of the UW colleges, President Riley, but we also saw headlines over the summer and last spring about not only faculty members leaving various UW campuses, but chancellors. It seemed like there was a rash of chancellor exiting the UW system in this past year. Is that right, or am I wrong on that?
There has been a fairly large number of chancellors moving for one reason or another. As usual, when you get a clump of such changes. Some of it is retirement. For instance, John Wiley, Chancellor mm-hmm. Madison's retiring. Jack Keating, Chancellor Parkside's retiring. And several others left. Green Bay Chancellor Bruce Shepard for a much higher salary in Washington. Don Betts, Chancellor at River Falls, left to go back to Oklahoma, where he came from, because they were able to patch together a pretty lucrative retirement package for him back there that we couldn't match here. So it's a mix of motivations. But what I would say is the Board of Regents and I are very attentive to being sure that, again, we have salaries, whether it's for our academic leadership, whether it's for a faculty member, whether it's for a person in the admissions office, salaries that are allow us to be in the league, to compete, to attract and retain that talent. Again, we can't afford not to be able to do that. And again, I'm hopeful that we'll be able to get some support to do that in the 09-11 biennium. We had gotten up a couple years ago to about 4% on the faculty side behind salary levels in our peer institutions. We've slipped backwards now with the relatively low pay plans to about 10% behind our competitors. And that's just too far behind to sustain it over the long haul.
Yeah. Everybody wants good faculty and administrators at their local university. But I think a lot of people listening right now are also just they're very concerned about access and affordability as well. What's the status there when it comes to UW tuition and the affordability of an education at a UW system campus?
Couple things, and I think that conversation should start with pressure on us, for us to demonstrate how we're holding down costs, how we're trying to be more cost efficient. And just, again, let me give you a couple hard numbers, because there's a lot of hot air very often in these discussions, but let me give you a couple hard numbers about what we've been doing to try to hold costs down. In the last 7 years, we've reduced our ongoing tax support, general purpose revenue, GPR support, by $125 million. We've eliminated over the last 7 years about 1,000 tax-supported administrative positions from the university, and we've added in that 7 years more than 8,200 students. Now, I'd say that's pretty good productivity improvement by anybody's standards. We're now enrolling an all-time high of 173,000 students, and we are now spending about $1,500 per student less than our competitors in getting those students to a degree. There are other measures I could talk about. You know, we spend now $227 per capita in Wisconsin to support all of our public education, the tech colleges and the UW. That ranks us 34th in the nation. So 33 states in the nation spend more than we do per capita to support their public higher ed system. And Minnesota, by the way, is the 12th highest. They spend $303 per citizen to support Minnesota public higher ed. In Wisconsin, we spend $227. It's a significant difference. So we're very focused on how to be as cost efficient as we can be. One of the action steps that came out of the strategic plan for the growth agenda was to focus again on back office operations and how we can cut administrative costs. The lower we can get those, the easier it is, obviously, for us to hold tuition increases down. And again, we're sensitive to families feeling, how can we meet those tuition costs? And we know nationally there's a growing concern among families about, when Johnny and Jane get to college, will we be able to afford to send them? Several years ago, in 2003-2005, we had significant budget cuts, $250 million budget cut to the university. The increase in 2003-2004 in tuition was 18%, high percentage, and 15% in 2004-2005. In 2005-2006, it was 6.9%. In 2006-2007, it was 6.8%. Last year, it was 5.5%. And we froze the tuition at the UW colleges. It was 0% there. So I'd argue we're going in the right direction. We want to continue to try to keep that tuition increase down. And we want, at the same time, to drive up the financial aid that's available based on demonstrated need. So we are working with the state to do that. The region's budget that just passed, they asked for a dollar for dollar increase in financial aid to match the tuition increases. We have said we want to double the amount of privately donated need-based financial aid. We give out about $6 million of that a year now. We want to double that to $12 million. The wonderful gift we got from John and Tasha Morgridge of $175 million for the state, and not just for us, but for the whole state for college financial aid is a wonderful boost in that regard. And even with the tuition increases we've had, Joy, we still are at the very low end among our peer institutions. UW-Madison, for instance, has there's only one other institution that has cheaper tuition in its peer group in the Big Ten, which has 11 institutions, and it's since Penn State joined.
Let's take some more calls. Jordan in Whitewater is with us now. Hi, Jordan.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thanks for calling.
Great. I think I have a solution to gaining and building the Wisconsin college and entrepreneur pride is what I'm talking about. I'm going to school down at Whitewater, and I'm part of a CEO organization. It's Collegiate Entrepreneur Organization. And right now I'm working to put these throughout different universities in Wisconsin. And that's part of Madison's Kaufman Campus Initiative, which is really, really awesome. And what I see is I think there's a lot of individuals out there that are really smart and can really start a business, but aren't always academically gifted and or find themselves doing the work all the time or trying to build that business and really haven't focused on school. I think by building like entrepreneurship pride within the classes, it gives like the individual something to think about, hey, if I can build a business in high school or college, I know why I need to know economics or finance or accounting right now. And I'd say that's a big reason why I've been able to do a lot better in school is because I know why I need to use these classes.
Yeah. Jordan, I'm sorry. We're kind of short on time, so I don't know if I want to go to spend the rest of our time discussing this particular project. Are you familiar with this, President Riley?
I am. And I want to congratulate Jordan on his approach here. I think this is very important. I think what we're trying to do across the system is to filter into our undergraduate education more an appreciation for what entrepreneurship means. We know most of the new jobs in the future will come from small businesses, and we want our undergraduates to feel that they understand what entrepreneurship is about and that they're capable, indeed, of looking at starting their own businesses in a global knowledge economy. So we're working with Jordan and other students across the system to do that. I think we'll probably put together a kind of mini summit on student entrepreneurship. We've begun to talk about that at least sometime in the next year or so to help encourage students like Jordan. And I think part of the message here is maybe we've been a little risk averse in some ways in the way we've treated our business development. Maybe in a state like Wisconsin, we need to say, look, most entrepreneurs who succeed have a business or two that they've started that has failed before they get to the successful one. Indeed, Governor Warner, the former governor of Virginia, mentioned that at the convention the other night, that his first two businesses failed. And then he wound up with a third business, which I think turned out to be Nextel. off which he got very, very rich. That's the pattern. I think just having our students, having our families understand that is something that could be very important for the future economy of the state.
Thank you very much, Jordan, for the call. Mike in Madison is with us now. Hi, Mike.
Good morning. Good morning, Chancellor Riley. I'd like to talk about the system that the Board of Regents uses, the peer schools. I believe that they are artificially elevated in favor of raising the salaries for our professors. We're using schools like USC, UCLA, Stanford, East Coast, West Coast schools where cost of living is extremely high, $750,000 for a three-bedroom home. We should be using schools in the Midwest where cost of living is comparable, and I think that just does a disservice to the taxpayers of Wisconsin by raising the taxes to pay for these professors. The other thing is, too, I did go to the University of Wisconsin in Madison, and most of my professors could only speak some English, very, very poor in their English skills, and I felt that was a disservice as well to the students. That most of their schooling seemed to come from the TAs and from the books and actually from each other.
All right, Mike. President Riley?
Sure. A couple things. The institutions we compare ourselves to as peers are institutions the state and we have agreed to. And this list was put in place long before I became president. We're certainly willing at any time to relook at it. But we didn't just invent this. So I don't want anybody mm-hmm. to think that. This is agreed to with the state. And it includes peer systems like SUNY in North Carolina that are peers. They're big, complex systems with different costs of living across those states, just as we have different costs of living here. And by the way, our goal within that system of comparison is not to have the highest salaries. The region's stated goal is to have salaries that are 95% of the peer median. So we're already saying, because of some of the factors where we believe, at least in some parts of Wisconsin, we're cheaper than some other places in the world, that we're going to cut back by 5% as a goal. So I think we've already got that built in. Now, as to the other issue about TAs and larger classes, I'll go back to my issue of systemness here. If you don't want to be at a major research university and be in an environment where you're going to have some graduate students teaching you in the lower first 2 years, you've got the ability to go to another campus with smaller classes where you'll have basically 100% of your courses taught by people on tenure track or instructional academic staff, people who are full-time employees. It depends on what you want out of your education. And part of the trick here is obviously making the right choice with your family, going to the campuses as you're considering which ones you want, doing those visits, doing your homework so you get that correct fit. For some students, they would find, you know, the atmosphere at Madison, which is a large campus with over 40,000 students, lots of graduate students, the most exciting place to be. For other students, it's clearly not. It's not the right environment. Getting the fit right is the trick.
Thank you very much, Mike, for the call. And Kevin in La Crosse is with us now. Hi, Kevin. We're almost out of time. If you can be brief, please.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I graduated from UW-River Falls in 2005. And I think it was in 2004, Chancellor Riley, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, the state gave X amount of money to the UW system. And then all of a sudden, a few months later, they said, oops, we gave you too much. We got to have some back. So a lot of colleges and departments on the university were scrambling to determine what they could sacrifice, which is really frustrating because they're barely keeping the basics of what they have, and then they have to give some of it away.
You looked a little puzzled as though you don't remember that particular instance, President Riley.
No, I was just thinking about the particular date. I know mm-hmm. he's right in the yeah. sense that it's happened, and unlike the federal government, state governments, we here in Wisconsin, have to balance the state budget. So if there's a significant downturn in the revenues that come into state coffers, the state comes back to the university and all the state agencies and says, you need to give us back X amount of dollars to make the budget balance.
And you can't say no way.
We cannot say no way, and we have to do that when that happens.
Yeah.
Long term, the solution is to have the kind of thriving economy that the university can help grow so that we don't have those downturns in revenue on a regular basis.
Well, we'll leave it there for now. I hope you'll come back again and keep us updated.
I'd love to. Great to be here with you, Joy.
Kevin Riley is the president of the UW system. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster and to Rob Ferret for producing this hour. Thank you for listening and for calling in. If you would like a CD of this or any of our talk shows, you can call the radio store, 1-800-747-7444. Tomorrow at this time, I hope you join us for the Week in Review. We'll have two guests from different perspectives to talk with you about all the political news of the week. It's the Week in Review, Fridays between 8 and 9. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.